Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barbershop. What are you here to see?
Chavez.
Who?
Chow. I got a couple kids need cut. I need to tighten up myself.
Oh, we got you. Come on in and have a seat, man. Hey, Chow.
What up, fam?
Cuz out here got a few kids he need cut.
Oh, yeah? A few of them?
Yeah. Yo, Chow.
What up?
You know the motto.
Come get your hair right. First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get him faded, tapered up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
It's just another day at the barbershop. I clean my barber chair, time to get it in with Chop. Turn my clippers on, clients rush the parking lot. Just the south side, number one barbershop. On the regular, we cut them so fresh. DJ Khaled with the clippers, we the best. I'm taking walk-ins, tell me who's next. We take cash, even debit, no checks. I see your cuts grown, welcome to Barber Zone. We go hard or go home, just store us in your phone. And now we doing numbers like the pickfold. They ask him where you get that cut, that is sick, bro. First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get him faded, tapered up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Early in the morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to In the Barber Zone with your man, Chavez Bowman, coming right here from the Barber Zone Barber Studio, 3719 South High Street on the south side of Columbus, Ohio. Welcome, everyone, to another show. This is the special show, so Thursday show. We had a few technical difficulties. I apologize. On Monday, so we switched it to Thursday. So welcome into the show. If you want to join in and talk about this topic we got this evening, it's number 347-637-3850. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Also, the official Barberzone website, which is barberzone.org. Y'all, we're going to be talking about something tonight. So you want to be an owner. So you want to own a shop, a salon, or whatever. Everybody else talking about, yeah, I want to own my own shop. So we're going to talk about tonight what it takes to be a shop owner. Are you really, really, really ready for the responsibilities of being a shop owner? So, you know, we're going to see if we can get some shop owners on the line, some potential shop owners on the line. Let's see if we can mix it back and forth. You know, maybe by the end of the show, you'll find out that maybe you are ready to be a shop owner, and then on the other hand, maybe you're not ready to be a shop owner. So, you know, we're going to get some individuals on the line this evening, and we're going to see what we can, you know, what we come up with. So, you know, it's been something, you know, we did a show a couple weeks ago about booth rent. You know, I was booth rent enough. So now we're doing it. You ready to be an owner? Because, you know, you hear a lot of individuals say, you know, I'll pay this month in booth rent. Shoot, I could pay rent on the shop. Y'all, it's a little bit more than just paying the rent for the building. So we're going to see if we can shed a little light on the lives of shop owners. So, again, you're in the Barber Zone with your man, Chavez, right here at the Barber Zone Barber Studio. You know, y'all, just let's see what we get into tonight, man. Are you really, really ready for the sacrifices it takes to be a shop owner? So, but before we get in that, you know, we're going to do how we do. We're going to take time. We got to give a little shout-out before we, you know, get started. You know, not shout-outs to your shop or, you know, to your colleagues or whatever. These are shop, you know, we call prayers, man, you know, just giving that thanks back for everything we've been blessed with. So we take the time to say thank you, Father, for another day. another opportunity, another blessings. We just say thank you, Father, for everything that you do for us. Without you, there is no us. So we just have to take time to say thank you for everything you're doing, your power, your mercy, your grace that sustains us through the day. And without you, there is no us. So as we go on, let us be better than we were the day before, that we may be better images of you. Because if that's not what we're doing it for the wrong reason. So as we go on, Father, just lead us and guide us in the way that you have us go, that we may be positive examples in our shops and our salons, that we may be blessings in other people's lives. So, Father, bless this show, that this show may be a positive vehicle for upliftment in our barber and our hair community, that the things that are said here on the show may be taken in positive light, that they may not be used in a destructive manner. So as we go on, Father, we just say, watch our tongues, guide our minds, that they may continue to be positive. So the light that we shine may be of an uplifting sense and not negative. So, Father, I just say thank you for the Barber Zone and everything that you've done for us, and that we may be a blessing to others' lives. So as we go on with this show, Father, we just say thank you. In your son Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, we're talking about being a shop owner. Everybody, you know, when you get in barber school, everybody has that vision of, you know, opening a shop, having this many chairs, that many chairs, having this many people work for you, and how you're going to lay your shop out, and what it's going to be named, and what you're going to do. But do you have a plan? You have a vision, but do you have a plan to execute that vision? You know where you want to be, but do you know the path that you have to go through, the path that you have to go down? A lot of people don't have any ideas. They just want to be the shop owner. They just want their name and lights, and they want all the glam and all the blueprint and all the accolades that come with being a shop owner. But they're not ready to put the time in. They haven't educated themselves when they were behind the chair at somebody else's shop to prepare themselves to be a business owner. Have you had a business class? Do you know anything about marketing, advertising? Have you taken a leadership class? In order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. Are you able to take instruction? Are you a psychologist? Are you able to deal with multi-personalities and get them and be able to work in a cohesive situation that's not destructive to your clients or to your profession? Are you willing to stay late, come in early? When the bathroom needs to be cleaned, are you willing to stop cutting hair to go clean the bathroom because there's paper towels and toilet paper everywhere? Or the toilet is stopped up? Are you ready to do any of those things? Are you financially ready to put everything that you have into your shop? Are you emotionally ready to put everything that you have into this vision? Are you ready? Are you spiritually ready to step out on faith to open a shop? To capture your vision, because opening a barbershop or a hair salon is not guaranteed that it's going to be a success. So do you have that much faith in God, in your skills, that you can pull this off? That's some of the things you got to think about. If you live in the climate like we do in Columbus, Ohio, we have all four seasons, so sometimes we have a rough winter. Are you going to get up early to shovel in front of the shop so that your clients, nobody falls, nobody slips, they don't track snow all into the shop? Now the shop's all wet, you've got snow and ice all in your shop. Are you going to do that? Are you able to handle other people's problems? Because when you become a shop owner, you now have, they're not your employees because they don't work for you, but now you have other individuals who have other lives and other problems going on that they're going to need help with in order to function correctly in your business. Are you able to handle their problems and your problems at the same time? That's a lot. It's not just about getting in contact with the landlord and signing a lease and paying the rent monthly. Are you ready for the gas bill, the electric bill, the water bill, the sanitation bill? You know, the tissue, the toilet paper, the soap, the cleaning supplies, the mops, the buckets, the brooms. Are you ready for all that? When the TVs go out, are you ready for that? It's a lot of stuff that goes in to being a shop owner, more than just putting your name on the lease and putting your name on the sign. So we got a few people on the line. I just threw some things out there to see, you know, we can spark a little conversation. Are you really, really, really ready to be a shop owner? Everybody wants to be the boss, but who wants to pay the cost? All right, we got a few callers checking in. We got a caller from the 484, the 443, and we got a 614 also here on the line. Y'all in the barber zone with your man Chavez Moment. The number's 347-637-3850. Let's see who we got checking in this evening with us from the 484. You're in the barber zone with your man Chavez Moment. Who we got on the line with us this evening?
It's Craig Skills, dog.
Craig Skills. What's up, good brother? What's going on this evening?
Good brother, I want to start off to say I am so sorry. I've been trying my best to get on the line. It's just I'm working at the times you have this show, and I just don't want to cut my clients off.
Oh, yeah.
But tonight, it's the early night, and I'm here now.
Hey, Craig, but you know what? I appreciate you taking the time, man, and even thinking of us to try to jump on the show. But here in the barber zone, that's what we do, man. If you want to if you're in a shop with a client, that's what we do in the barber zone, man.
Absolutely.
Get on the line, let your client know, hey, I got to call into this talk show. They got this topic, and I just want to jump on for a minute. So while I'm cutting your hair, I'm about to be in the barber zone multitasking, do this. You know,
I had to call on this topic.
Jump on, man. I don't care if I hear the Clippers in the background, man. That's the barber zone, man.
I had to call. I speak on this all the time. You know what I'm saying? Now, the number one thing I want to tell everybody is I've opened up 5 different shops myself.
Yeah.
I've been in the business for 20 years, owning a shop since I left college in 1993. I always owned a shop.
Yes, sir.
That's number one. The number one thing that I tell everybody, before you open up your mouth to say you own a shop, research for yourself about the business first. Because
yeah,
it might not be what you really want to do. Take on that task. You covered everything. Research your business, then research the location of your business and how you're going to market in that location. That's before you get any chairs in there. You have to do the research because it might not work. Now, if you don't think that works, that's business 101. Research your area to make sure your business can succeed within the 3-year time period, because you're not going to make no money till the 3rd year. That's business 101.
Hey, I think I'm right there, man. Are you financially ready to put everything you own into
this business?
Yo, when I just opened the barber zone, the spot that I have right now, I'm going to tell you, when I opened up the doors, after I went and paid my license, to get my shop open, I had $63 in my pocket and in my bank account.
Absolutely.
And that's the God honest truth. I had $63 to my name.
Right, absolutely. And that's the truth. Signing a lease is just a small point of owning a business. That's just a real small point on the business. Secondly, I tell guys that own the business, make sure you yourself as an owner, if you're a barber, have the clientele, the without nobody else there.
Yeah.
Don't depend on having 10, 12, 20 chairs up to pay your bills, because you're dealing with barber games, so running out. I got one more thing to say. And as a black male in the barber business, it's a difference sometimes with the Latinos and the other Caucasian everybody, because most of the black men, when we brought up, we wasn't brought up on how to save money or know how to get loans. That scares black men from coming from the urban community. If you're Caucasian, somebody they already has taught as a young to go get a business plan and get your loan. Some blacks have been taught to do that, to go get a business plan first to get that loan. But otherwise, blacks in the urban hood saying, I got my man, I got some money, we just going to open up a shop. You're going to fail. Some last because they get it time and time again with support of the community and the family, but more than likely, you're in the wrong direction from the start. You're wasting a lot of money and somebody else's money.
Hey. And that's right on the head, because, Craig, actually, I had a brother here, a brother I played golf with. He would open a shop. He asked me questions on which way the other to do this, do that. You know, this is what you need to do. Come by, holler at me. We can sit, put a plan together, what you want to do, this, that, and the other. He don't want to do that. I got the money. I got the building. I'm going to go to barber school. I'm going to give me some barbers, and I'm going to open up shop.
It's not that easy.
He's not a barber.
He's not
a barber.
Right.
Then
not that
he hasn't had any business classes, so that's two strikes to get him against him. Then he put it in an area, like you say, you got a location. You got to research your area. He put it in an area that's predominantly old white money. He's
absolutely
a young urban youth and tried to put a urban black barbershop into a predominantly old white money area with
it's not
barbers and no white up here.
It's not going to work.
He's closed down already.
Absolutely. It's not going to work. Cats just get I want to say another thing. You, myself, and a lot of barbers, African-American, black, Latino, Caucasian, just because it's called the barbershop name has been scarred, meaning that owning a barbershop is not big business. Understand, every time I go speak somewhere, I wear a suit and take my briefcase. I open up my brief and ask everybody, what you think I do for a living? They say I'm a banker or something. I'm a barber because this is my profession. I'm a professional. So I turn my briefcase around. It has clippers in it. Do not treat me as the banker, because some of the bankers that y'all look up to thinking he got money, I make more money than him. But I dress how I want to dress every day. But I'm, at the end of the day, this is big business.
Craig, I used to work in the bank, so I know.
Absolutely. So stop. I want to see the young people that want to open up a shop. Stop treating it as it's a hustle. This is a real, legitimate, big business in 2012 and beyond. This is owning a barbershop today is big business now. It's not a game no more. So I always want to tell the young guys and some of the older guys, if you really want to do this, you're getting into big business. I don't talk about it as a small business. It's big business over here.
Yeah, they don't realize that it's the barbershop, but they don't realize what type of impact or what it takes to run a successful. That's the word, a successful business, a successful, profitable
business,
community enhancing business, not something that's taken away from the community. I gotta say this, man. Me and my man Ted's a barber, my man that's at the shop with me.
Right.
We went by another shop today.
Right.
And, you know, he's doing the game. He came straight out of school into my shop 8 months ago. So I took him on, looks like we got somebody from Columbus on the line. I took him over on Livingston Avenue, which is a strip. We're in the hood. And took him to a barbershop where they sell the DVDs, the movies, and all that in there.
Right.
And, bruh, we walked in the shop, and you would swear they smoking weed in it. There's so many people in that barbershop with weed in their pockets and butts and everything that it smells like they smoking weed.
Yeah,
you walk through the shop, there's more people buying DVDs and CDs than people getting haircuts.
It's a flea market.
Yeah, and he looked at that like, dude, is this a shop or is this run through?
Right.
He got
right.
to see the difference in a business, a legitimate business that I'm working on running. You got to respect it. Come in, respect the lady, the boys, the kids, everything. We doing this
right.
family, or take it to
right.
the hood and we get it grimy however we need to.
Right.
So
right.
Are
right.
You,
right.
Are you trying to run a profitable community and have some business, or are you
right.
just in there running money? What are
you
doing?
Right. In terms of Flea, and that's why I say it has been scarred by a lot of the motion picture community has scarred the urban barbershop, saying it is all of them are like this, when they all a lot of them are making a lot of money more than other businesses, and they're keeping their community afloat. Well, an economy is messed up, the other business is closing down. The local barber that's running it right, always open.
Always. This barbering is a recession-proof industry. Young
Absolutely.
Barbers, if you
Absolutely.
Don't know it, hey, Benny, I see you, Benny. I got you coming up in a second, man. If you don't
yeah.
know, barbering is a 365, 24/7 business.
Right, right.
You can do this anytime. Anywhere, it's a recession-proof industry. When
right.
people lose their jobs, they still get haircuts because they have to look good to get a new job. When
right.
they get the new job, they're going to come back and get more haircuts. They'll get on the routine. But
right.
this industry, you're going to always eat.
Yes. And
as
check,
long
I want,
as
check.
You handle your, quote-unquote, your business. Y'all, in a couple weeks, and this is how God blesses you, man. I was cutting a guy, and I was talking about I had a show, and I want to start doing some more shows on business. I'm cutting an older white guy, and he gets done. He said, you know what, I've been listening to what you're saying about you want to do a show and this, that, and other. Come to find out, this dude is the dean of the business department in one of the local colleges around here.
That's beautiful.
I'm like, man. Will you come on my show and give us barbers around the country and around the world on my show some business tips? So, y'all,
right.
in a couple weeks, the Barber Zone will be bringing you business tips on things you need to do if you want to be an owner. No, excuse me, y'all. I feel like I'm fighting the cold or whatever, so if you hear me sniffle,
right.
you know. If you want to open a shop, if you want to maintain your shop, or if you want to increase your business, we're going to talk about that.
Right, right. And one more thing, tell the people need to know, really sit down and use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid, about your shop name. Don't have a weird, difficult name. Use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Everybody remember that. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Have a basic name. Don't try to get all hip-hop, urban, with all these weird names. Basic name, keep it clean. Because one fact I know for a fact, when I was young, you're going to get older. Sometimes your name not going to reflect your age.
No little Ray Ray?
No,
you know
none of that.
No little Ray Ray Barbershop?
No little Ray Ray Barbershop. Nah. Respectful Barbershop, keep it business and come up with a basic name.
Hey, Craig, hold on, man. We got some more people. I appreciate you.
I'm listening on, man. I'm good, baby. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate you taking the time out. Hey, y'all. Y'all on In the Barber Zone with your man, Chavez Moment, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Hit us up, blogtalkradio.com/barberzone. Also, make sure you check out the official Barber Zone website, which is barberzone.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You know, the Barber Zone, man. Come get your head right. We here on the show talking about, so you want to be the boss. So you want to be, you know, Rick Ross. You want to be the boss. You want to be the man. You want to be in the club, popping off, talking about, yeah, I'm the owner, this, that, and the other. You want to do that. But are you really ready? Are you really, really ready? Do you have, this is one thing we ain't talking about, do you have the personality to be the owner? Are you savvy enough to handle everything that comes in the door, any problem that comes in the door? Are you savvy enough to handle that? Are you ready for all the marketing firms and everybody else trying to sell credit cards, processing things? Are you ready for them to call your cell phone all time of the night? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the community people when they come and say, hey, you have a nice shop here. We want to hold a community meeting here in your barbershop. Are you ready for that? Those are the things that come. Are you ready for the bootleg man to come in and try to sell, you know, on the watches and the jewelry and the shoes and all that? Are you ready to handle that in a professional way? That where when that man is not selling the bootleg, he wants to come to your shop and get a haircut because he liked what he saw when he came in? Come on, man. It's a lot more than just signing your name on a paper, paying the lease, and turning the key in the morning. So, all right, we got my man coming up from the 443, man. We got my man Benny the Barber coming through. Benny, tap in on this subject we're talking about, man. Are people really ready to be the boss? Do they know what we do?
Oh man, if they knew what it was, they if you ain't ready, don't do it. Listen, check this out. If you selfish, don't do it. If you can't work with other people, don't do it. If you're not willing to make your clients happy or make them comfortable or even make yourself comfortable, don't do it. And last but not least, if you cheat, don't do it.
And you said if you cheat, don't do it?
Don't do it. I mean, because it takes a lot, right? It takes a lot to run a barbershop. It takes a lot more than just you opening up and putting a barber pole outside your door and expecting people to come in and patronize you. You have to be willing to invest.
I know he takes it, so we're gonna listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, Benny, go ahead. I got you. Go ahead.
You have to be willing to invest in your business. You know what I mean? You have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit in order to gain that whole lot. You know what I'm saying? People don't understand. You got to give a little to get a lot. And they don't want to do that. Like you have people that would rather go and put their own flyer together instead of paying a designer, which is what he do, and it might only cost you maybe $60 to get this designer to hook this flyer up, put your pictures on there in the right place, and get it real presentable for you, and have it so that you can promote your business properly. They try to find the cheapest way possible. That's what, bro. If you really want to make $60,000-$70,000 a year, bro, it ain't gonna go cheap. You ain't gonna. And then, you know, you gotta understand the checks and balances of this thing, man. It ain't that simple.
No, it's but you know what? But you know it's if you own your business, it's not as far as people make it though. It's a simple concept. People just make it harder than what it is.
Yeah.
But believe, it's not a cakewalk. No, by no means is a cakewalk. Because you're dealing with people. You're dealing with emotion. You're dealing this is a people industry. If you're not ready for this, if you're not ready to deal with people's attitudes and everything, dude, don't do it. it's not for you. So everybody can't own it, but everybody wants the glory.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be the owner.
I mean, you got owners that may work in a shop, but the crazy part about that is that all right, if they work in a shop, they might have let's take for example, they have a four chair shop, right? Now they got a four chair shop, and if you can't handle your barbers coming in and making more money than you, then you don't really need it. You know what I mean?
Hear that. Wait a minute. What did you say? The barbers cut more hair and make more money than you?
Yeah. Right. But the this is the modern set. This is the modern set. If you can't handle the barbers coming in and making more money than you, then you really don't need to own a shop. If
right.
you're talking about, oh, I let this barber in here, he stole my customers. Fool, you own the shop. He ain't steal nothing. He did what he was supposed to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're gonna get your rent back at the end of the week. He gotta make the rent. So what? You don't want him to, you know, you ought to throw him a few.
Right.
But you know, let the barbers eat and you know, dude, I'm like this. I want to see my barbers working the whole, you know, all the time. Dude. And barbers, owners, like they said before, if you can't sustain the rent by your own clientele, by your own hand, don't
right.
do it. Don't do
yes.
it. Like when I made the jump to open my shop. So like Craig said earlier, yo, I put a business plan together. That's the first thing you gotta do. Put your business plan together. I knew the demographics of my area. I knew in my area how many barbershops were there, how far they were away, how many schools was in my area, how many churches
right.
was in my area, how many houses, how many communities were in my area before I opened the shop. Found a place that was less than, this is the key, you have to find a place that's less than or equal to what you're paying your booth rent yourself.
Right.
I was paying $125 a week. The space I was getting was 700 a month.
Right.
500 a month. I was paying 500 a month, so I ended up paying 700 a month. It's a little bit more, but I knew I could make more, and now I had barbers that was paying booth rent that could help pay that money.
Right.
If you can't do the math like that, don't open a shop. Because just because you open a shop doesn't mean you make the money off the rip. And if you don't know anything about business, like Greg said, for the first 2 or 3 years, you're not going to make any money.
Straight up.
Flat out, basic business principles. You're not going to make any money because you have so much startup cost. What people don't look at, they don't look at their startup cost.
Right.
You're going to have to get building permits. You're going to have to get city permits for this. You're going to have to pay a gas deposit, the electric deposit,
right.
a water deposit. Everything is going to have to be your telephone. You're going to have to pay your phone. You're going to have to pay cable. You're going to have to pay all those lump sums right now before you get started.
Absolutely.
So if you're not ready, and we already know that for the majority, barbers we're not the most financially, fiscally responsible individuals. So then you go to looking to getting a loan to open a new barbershop.
Right.
When if you did the business, you wouldn't need to do that. By
right.
the grace of God, excuse me, by the grace of God, when I get this sign put up on the barbershop, I mean, my additional big sign, I'll be done. I won't, when I get that sign put up, I won't owe anybody any money for my shop.
Right.
That's by the grace of God and doing planning. I won't owe anyone any money for my barber shop.
Right.
All the chairs I own, all the display cases I own, all the vending machines I own, everything in there, I own myself. I didn't take out a loan, not to rent to buy. Yo, we have to be able to get where we own our own. The only thing I don't own is the space, but that's because I had to lease it. We have
right.
to get there to where we can sustain our businesses without anybody else.
Right.
So until you can do that, Mr. I'll pay booth rent here. And I can just go open my own shop up? Nah, it's not that simple.
Right, right.
It's not that simple. look like we got a couple people to take in, you know, from the 614 right here, from the 215. I think that might be, you know, my man, the professional calling from the 215. We're going to see if he got something to say about this. But we got another caller calling from the 614. Y'all in the zone with your man Chavez Moment right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, this is Barber's own Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. It's the official website, thebarberzone.org, y'all. Keep showing love to the Barberzone, man. We love it. We feel it. That's why we keep doing what we do. So we're going to get this caller on the line and see what they got to say. Caller, are you ready to be a boss, man? Are some of these people out here to be a boss? Mr. Burke, are these guys really ready to be? Are they really, really, really ready to be the boss?
Man, most of them are, man. Most of them are. I'm of the opinion that there's too many shops, there's too many barbers. I mean, not too many barbers, but too many barbershop owners, because exactly that. Half the people are in the game that shouldn't be in it. I think it's a place.
Wait, hold on. You went from not being owners to not being in the game, period?
No, I didn't mean it's not being in the game. I didn't mean to say that. I'm just saying Because you know what puts you in that position to be an owner? Money. Anybody can get money. You can get money any kind of way. And so there's no rite of passage. There's no process. There's you walk up with the cash. I mean, there's people that don't even do hair their own shops. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. You know, depending on what they bring to the table. But I'm saying that there are, you know, we've made ourselves available for anybody to invest in it and to do anything that they want to do. That's all I'm saying.
Anybody can throw money at this thing of ours. But honestly, if they don't have a clue as to how to run a business or how to cut a head to hair, the thing won't last. Because it could be the grand opening and the grand closing. So, I mean.
I don't know about that one, Benny.
That's just my belief because I done seen it happen. When I was down at my pop shop, we had a cat open up the shop right there. Matter of fact, this cat opened up at the, now we're in the middle of the block. They open up at the end of the block, and then another shop opened across the street from that shop. You know both of them were closed within a year?
Hell yeah, man. That happens, man. That happens. See, this is what I'm saying. First of all, you have to be mature enough to run a shop. Running a shop is like it's like running a family. You know, because a young man has to grow up and become mature enough to be a good father, but there's nothing that stops him from being a father.
Oh, yeah.
You see my point? So it's that easy to get a shop, but there's responsibility that goes to it. I mean, you know, you're responsible, like Chavez was talking about his shop. Anybody that works in his shop, he has the responsibility to keep the lights on, to keep the doors open, to, you know, to maintain the equipment, and everything that he promises to supply them so that their customers can continue coming to them. Because if something in that responsibility chain breaks, they begin to lose clients. And you know who really suffers? Whoever they're taking that bread home to, their families. You know, their kids don't eat because something Chavez slips up on. And I'm not saying he does that. I'm just saying that if he's not on his P's and Q's, crossing his T's and dotting his I's, then, you know, one of his staff members' kids suffer. And so it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, he already talked about businesses that make a positive impact on the community. You know what? If he was in a situation where he was doing that, his doors closed, his community suffers. So it's a responsibility. You got to grow up to that. You just can't buy that position. I think that was my main point. You know,
I saw that.
I'm about to go buy this barbershop. Just no, man. You can buy the barbershop, but you can't buy respect.
Man, they buying chairs.
They're not buying respect. They're not buying. You can't buy loyalty.
No, you can't buy loyalty.
People not just gonna come to your shop because it's brand new and it's shiny. Look at them TVs you got. Look at that. No, but what impact are you making on these people? Why should people come to your shop?
Right.
Well, you should be in a position where, you know, like my man, what's his name, Craig? Mentioned earlier, that you got to, you know, you got to have a clientele. So obviously you spent time building up a clientele, building up a group of people who trust and respect you. You need to take the same principles that you use to build your own business, to build your shop. So you've got to be networking just like you networked with the people. You need to network with other professionals so that when you open your doors to the shop, you've got a group of people who are following you and look up to you enough or respect you enough that they would want to work with you. I'm seeing too many people that save the money on the slide, don't want to tell nobody, don't say nothing, and then all of a sudden they pop open the shop. And like you said, they got 20 chairs and nobody's sitting in them, and they trying to hustle working there just the same way that somebody gets out of barber college and trying to hustle somebody to sit in their chair. You got way too much of a financial responsibility to have that much lack of planning. To me, it's just a sign you shouldn't be owning the shop. It's not a build it as they will come type thing. You know, like you said, preparation is key. You got to work your plan.
A lot of people look at this. They don't look at it as a legitimate business.
Right.
You know, McDonald's is a business and Chase is a business and this is a business. But that's just a barbershop. How many times do you hear people say, oh, that's just the barbershop?
Right. This is big business over here.
Yeah. But we touch more people and more money goes through the barbershop than anywhere. I just don't realize that.
Right. Cash money. And
more
check.
Cash money goes through the barbershop and the beauty shop than anywhere.
Hey, Chavez, you're giving away some secrets.
I hear that.
Hey,
you're telling them some secrets. They didn't know. They didn't know.
But here's the thing. But if you don't handle your business, there ain't no money coming through your shop because don't nobody want to come through because you're not handling business.
Absolutely.
You're handling quote unquote inward business. You know what that is. You know what they call that. You're not handling legitimate business. See, barbershop owners, we are a multicultural, unique business, unlike any other business in the world. So if you're not educated enough to cater your business to the masses, not just a limited demographic. No, you have to be able to help and service everyone.
I feel you on that.
I'm telling you, when I open, even though Chris knows where my shop is at, even though I opened my shop in the area that I did in Columbus, I didn't realize how many white folks was going to come to my shop.
Absolutely. I feel that.
I mean, and I tell barbers, and I had a couple barbers that had to leave because they couldn't cut straight hair. But, dude, literally, I'm telling you, literally, my business is like, let's say, 70, sometimes it's 70-30, straight hair to minority hair. And if you can't do it, your business is not going to survive. Like I talked about the other brother's business. He's in a majority old white money business area. But he has no white barbers, no other ethnicities in his barbershop. And here's one thing that I was told that the barber said. They don't even cut straight hair. We don't cut straight hair in here.
Huh?
Literally. Huh? Told that to a client.
That's disrespectful to the barber book.
Right.
That's disrespectful to the barber book because that's not, it's not an African American barber book. It's the barber book. So who trained you?
Yo, here, if anybody know me, here's what I say. I cut hair. Hey, you know, all the white guys, hey, man, can you do anything with this strange stuff, this old white guy here, this old white guy right here? I'm like, well, hey, man, I cut hair. Whatever you want me to do with, and I'm silly, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to give you a curl, you want me to give you a box, you want me to give you a fade, whatever you want me to do, I got you. But I cut hair.
Right.
And that's what we all should do. We cut hair. We service everyone. On my window, it says we cut all type of hair.
Yeah,
no doubt.
That's a good mark.
Come in my shop that we cut all types of hair.
So that.
If you're not doing that.
Hey, Chef, I got one thing before you go to the next call. The one, number one thing that made me wake up was eight years ago when I got audited by the IRS. A lot of barbers might not ever get to that stage where they do, a lot of them not even filing taxes anyway. That's a whole nother game in owning the business.
If you
own a barbershop and you got a national number, corporation, whatever you're doing, you on tap for the IRS that's watching. They might not get you later now, but they're going to get you eventually. When you hit that IRS, big business come.
That's
why I talk at, this might not be the game for you. This is not just a simple open up something like you got a table outside on the corner. This is big business owning a barbershop. and a lot of Indians and managers can be a boss. Sometimes bosses are people learn how to be a boss. Sometimes bosses are born. Everybody can't be a boss. Play your part. Be a thorough Indian.
There it is.
Play your part. Everybody can't be a boss.
Yeah. That's my point.
Everybody,
right there.
That's what it is. Everybody is not a chief, man. Everybody's not built for this. You got to be thick-skinned for this.
Right.
You really got to be thick-skinned for this. Because, all right, y'all, here's another scenario. You own the shop. You got five or six barbers in your shop. This barber then tore this little kid's head up. He just scarred him up and everything. So when the mom comes back, who's she going to ask for?
The owner.
She's not going to ask for Joe the barber. She said, can I speak to the owner?
Absolutely.
You got six clients lined up. You've been in the shop since 6 o'clock this morning. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You still got people. You still got to get out of the shop by 5 o'clock. You really don't got time to help her. What are you going to do? This is your shop. This is your baby. Now what you going to do? You want to go in and cut that little man's head, but now you have to fix that problem that was created. So now you have to handle the mom. You have to get the kid back right because the kid is gun-shy now because the barber is hitting with the edges that's not set right. So now they're the victim. So now he's gun-shy. He don't want to come back to the shop. But then at the end of the day, you still have to handle that barber and address that situation with the way he cut the little kid's head. But you still got to have your client and still get to that appointment, go pick your kids up and get to the other side of town by 7:30.
Right.
Are you ready for that?
Yep.
Are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
And, you know, another thing,
are you ready to have plans with your family and you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, but all the barbers leave and it's still 4 walk-ins in the shop and it's 7:30. Are you ready to be able to have to deal with these clients right here? Are you able to rearrange these clients so that you can get out and get to your family? Or are you able to successfully talk to your family where you can say, baby, I'm going to be late because you know that. Are you able to handle all that? Are you able to handle all this pressure from being the owner and still be able to function as a sane man or woman in this crazy society that we have right now?
You know what, Ben? I'm going to add to that, too. If you're not able to reproduce those same good qualities in your staff, in your barbers, as a leader, then it's always going to be that difficult. It's never going to get easy because you're always going to be cleaning up messes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's another aspect of being the leader, being the boss, owning your shop, is that you have to be able to pour those same great qualities that you've developed along the way into the workers.
Yeah.
Or else you're always going to be cleaning up stuff. It's crazy.
Exactly. Always. Are you able to clean up, pick up them pieces, man? Are you able to do that? Are you really, really ready to be the boss? Because I'm telling you, it's going to be some time. You're going to sit there at night at the end of the day, and if you're a real, real person, you're going to cry some tears. You're going to sit there in that shop, and you're going to cry some tears. For real.
Right.
It's going to be some time. It's going to be some tears of joy. Father, thank you for blessing me with this. Thank you for the greatness that you put on this barbershop. We're doing so many positive things in the community. You can't help but to be overjoyed on how you've been blessed, that your vision has come through fruition, and everything is beautiful. Or when you got that light bill and the lights is about to get cut off tomorrow and your bill is $1,000 and you only got $500 and you don't know where to go and you got to drop to your knees and start crying and start praying. Are you ready for that? I've been there. I'm gonna tell you. Hey, caller 215. I think that's my man Kenny Duncan. I got you, man. I see you. Yo, I'm gonna give y'all a true life example. And it wasn't anything in my power. When I took over my building. You know, you got to call, you got to get the electric switched over in your name, this, that, and the other. So, boom, I did that. They send me, they give me the account number and everything. I pay my deposit. But come to find out, they gave me the wrong account number. I paid my deposit on the wrong account. So now, on that account, it showed that there's no deposit. So it goes on for a couple months. I ain't got no bill. I'm hellin' every other thing. So now, boom, I come in one day and the lights is off.
Right.
Huh?
So you blacked out.
Call the man. I'm all the way blacked out. Call the dude. Okay, problem, this, that, and the other. Oh, your deposit didn't go to the right place. Boom, we'll fix that. They turn my lights back on. But see, here, it's been a couple months and I ain't got no bill. So the next time I talk to the people, I've got a 5-month bill.
Wow.
A couple $1,000.
Right.
Like, oh, how's that going to happen? So then you get the disconnect notice. So now you got to worry about how you going to get this bill right. So you got 4 barbers in there, and you got this disconnect notice. You're looking out the window hoping the AEP people don't come and turn your joint off. And yo, and I'm going to tell you, this is God honest truth. I was leaving to go and get me some lunch, and the AEP lady pulled up. Same time, AEP lady pulls up, and she's about to come shut it off. And I simply say, Father, you got to go for me because I don't have the money, and all I can do is talk to this lady. Simple, quick prayer like that. Talk to the lady. The bill was X amount of dollars. I said, you know what? Here's the situation. I took over the place. They piled 3-4 months up on me. That's why the bill's this high. I got this much right now. Will you accept this? She said, yes. If you was honest with me, I'm not going to turn you off. Go pay that amount, and I got you. And do y'all know what? I talked to the lady. She had a little spiked short haircut. Hey, I do that type of haircut in there. Why don't you come on in here and let me give you a haircut? The lady came in 2 days later. Now I got a client from the lady that was coming to turn my electric off.
Right.
It was all a plan from the start.
That was the whole plan from the start.
Yeah, that was God right there.
From the start.
So, if you're not willing to listen to what God said to you and go in faith, don't do this thing. Because it's a faith wall. It's not guaranteed that it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Not guaranteed. So, y'all in the barber zone with your man Chavez Bowman, man. I got my man coming up from right here from the 215. We're going to get him in. We got a few more minutes left on the show, but y'all know how it is. The time says from 10 to 11, but we're going to kick it in the overtime, man. We're going to stay in the long zone a little bit longer, but We'll get my man right here from the 215. I see we got a caller from the 843. If you want to say something, the number 347-637-3850. Press 1 and let me know you want to tap into this topic we're talking about. Are you really ready to be the boss? Coming from the 215. You're in the barber zone. Who we got on the line with us this evening from the 215?
Fellas, it's a pleasure to be in the building with my fellow peers, the loved ones that share the same passion. What's up, dog? All the way from the 215. What's up, man?
You're king of professional. Man, greetings and blessings to you, good brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm listening to the stories, man, and I'm just thinking back to the conversation we had before you even had the building, and it's to know that you're effectively running your shop and things are going well with the exception of a few bumps and bruises here and there. But I think that's life, you know. But
yeah,
to see that you're up and running and all is well is definitely a blessing.
Yes, yeah.
I would tell you this, just to try to recap with some of the stuff y'all talked about. I hear my man Skills. I see my man Skills adamantly reaffirming that everybody is not a boss, and I'm right there with him. I'm right there with him. Disagree. You know that everybody's not cut out to effectively handle all the responsibilities that's necessary to effectively run the shop. And just to be quite candid and honest, I feel as though even with myself, there's areas in which I can do better. And that's the reason why I like to continue to network with individuals such as you guys and others so that I always continue to learn and know what I can do to add to so I can keep getting better. You know what I mean?
Are you?
Right.
I think that's a mindset that you have to have, because I think one of the biggest issues is people come into it thinking that they know everything, and that's one of the biggest things that leads them to fail. Because if you know everything, then nobody can tell you anything, so then when you are facing troubles, somebody's trying to give you advice on how to get out of it, you're going to be stuck because you're stuck in your ways and you had the mindset of you're already that bull. You know, and that's one of the things that happens with a lot of barbers. You know, I've come across – whereas I've got no love from my staff, but then, you know, had to work through, you know, winning them over. You know, I had to have those things. You know, you got those times when everybody wants to try to do their own thing, and you gotta handle those things, and when they come up, because, you know, I've so many chops I've seen where the whole staff just walk out.
Right,
I've seen it happen. I'm not the dynamic in Philly is that there's so many shops around that the shop owners that are in existence, they fight over the bad apples. What I mean by the bad apples, you know, the people that want to do whatever they want, and the people that want to say whatever they want, and it makes the culture of the industry, you know, bad. But when you can, in the midst of a situation like that, still maintain and cultivate one of the better staffs around, I mean, I think that in itself is something that's noteworthy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
See,
man, people don't understand, man, that to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. If you weren't able to work in a shop and grow and learn and see, because this is what I did. I went to different shops where I went to a couple that really wasn't my character. Just to see what goes on in the shop and what goes on with individuals like that. So when I get a shop, I've seen that before.
Right.
I've seen that before with him over there. I've seen that before and her over there.
Right.
So you got to be able to, if you're not able to learn, you're not able to teach.
Right, absolutely.
That's it, flat out. If you're not able to learn, if you're not able to humble yourself to learn, don't expect to be exalted as a leader.
Right.
No, it's not
good. Hey, Chavez, it's funny you say, if there's anybody that's been to any of the classes I've taught, one of the first things that I tell people in my introduction portion, when I'm, you know, giving the background of who I am, the first thing I tell them is that I am standing in front of you as a teacher because I'm a great student. That's
mm-hmm.
it. That's it. Because if I ever get to the place where I can stop learning, then I have to be in a position where I got to stop teaching because I'm going to teach the same thing over and over again. You're gonna, yeah. You got to continue to evolve. You have to.
Yo, I ain't going to Kenny class, man. I seen that last year, man. He teaching the same old thing, man. Ain't nobody messing with that Kenny dude, man. I heard that last time. When he going to start teaching something new?
Well, that's a personal problem.
You know,
that's a personal problem. Information you can talk to a guy on the escalator, go on to Kenny's class and learn something.
What?
Yep. You know what I'm saying? And me and Kenny have done classes before. If the smallest things, if personally with the smallest thing is key. Owning a shop, you got to pick your staff a different way. You just can't
yes,
pick
sir.
Anybody, because if you pick anybody, then your shop becomes anybody's shop. So it's a,
uh-huh.
in the years that I've been owning the business, and Kenny's been in my shop, the shop I have now, I'm picking my staff to the criteria of my shop where I wanted to be presented to the public. So everybody can't work in my shop. I have different levels to do. You don't got to be the best cutter, because I'm going to teach you how to be the best cutter and the best barber.
Right.
Because it's a whole
right.
package. It's not all about just the cut. It's about you as a barber, how when you leave my shop, you're representing my business anywhere you go. You know what's the funniest thing about this? The funniest thing about this whole conversation is that I know Skill's hand is thrusting real high and fast in the air as he's talking so adamantly about what he's passionate about. I can just see it right now. Like, he's looking in the mirror like he's about to cut somebody out.
Yeah,
you
usually get
so emotional too. I've been doing this for so long that I take highly pride in being a barber, because I continue to talk to everybody saying, yo, don't look at me like I'm just a regular dude. This is big business over here. I'm a corporate executive.
I'm not mad at that.
Yes, and Kenny has traveled with me, Chavez. When I'm in the airport, I have airport gear because I want to get stopped so people can say, what do you do? I'm a barber.
Yeah.
So they see, oh, you're a barber. You don't even look like a barber. Exactly what a barber looks like.
Yep.
It's pride. It's heavy pride over here, baby. It's coming, Kenny. It's coming.
I already know. I love it. I would have to agree with Craig as far as how you have to work your staff. You know, there are different challenges here in Philly as far as, you know, what pickings we do have. But you can't just take any and everybody. There was times where I even had to let people go. I mean, some people believe just because you feel the obligation of making sure that your chair ran is covered, that you're good. That's not always good enough. I've let people go that wanted to, you know, pay their rent early, you know, all that. I've let people go even under those circumstances because there were certain things that just didn't fit with the environment of the shop. That we want to keep.
Man, where was you at a few weeks ago when we had that conversation?
Oh, wow. Man. Wow. Man,
I'm going to try not to listen more.
Y'all hear Kenny them on here and Skills already saying this. Y'all, this is not easy. This is not the regular business model. Business school. You don't learn how to run a barbershop in business school. You don't learn how to run a barbershop in barber school. You learn how to cut hair. You don't learn how to deal with personality. You learn how to deal with different haircuts, but you don't know how to deal with different personalities. You don't learn leadership skills. You don't learn things like that in barbershop. So that's why you have to learn. You have to go. I'm telling you, if you have to go to your local college and
community college or whatever and take a business course. Do that.
Right.
Because that's something I'm going to try to see if when I get the brother on here in a couple weeks from the business school here, see if there's some way that we can get a specific course in one of these schools about barbering, about barbershops, about how to run specifically just some keys on how to run a barbershop.
You know how thick that chapter is, man? That chapter is about 5 or 10 pages long in that book. And it's so many that think that it's just that easy to come out here after school and build a book just like that and then build a shop. It's not that easy.
You know how many people went to school because their grandmother or somebody, an uncle or something, said, if you just graduate, I'll give you the money to open a shop.
Uh-huh.
I hear it all the time.
Lose some money.
Yeah, all the time. That's what I tell them all the time. They're going to lose the money. Yeah.
You're going to lose the money.
All the time.
You're going to lose the money.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it, and anybody who knows me, I'm a living witness. It's not about the money. Because when I went to go open this new barber zone, God is my witness. I did not have the money. I had the vision. I had the passion. I had the equipment. And I had the biggest thing. I had the 5 letters. F-A-I-T-H. That's what I had. I didn't have the money. I still don't have the money. But I got the faith in God. I got prayer on my side. And I say, Father, go before I do, before I enter this door. And it works out. So, y'all, the first thing, the very, 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 very first thing you got to have a relationship with God so that you have the faith that you can make this happen. If you don't have that, you're fighting a losing battle. It don't matter how much money you got, how many clients you have, how many properties you can have, how many barber chairs you got in your storage. That don't matter. how many barbers you got ready to work for you. Don't none of that mean nothing. If you don't have that relationship with God and you don't have that faith, as he say, the faith of a mustard seed, it's not going to happen. There's a lot of people that got jobs, but that don't mean they're positive. That don't mean they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they got their shop and just because they driving that car, y'all, I drive a 94 Camry.
Welcome to the club.
I know some owners driving Benzes. Guess what their car note is, and guess what my car note is.
Well, you might not have one.
Ha-ha.
Your shop is your car note.
My shop is my car note.
That's your car note.
And it's like this. I'm gonna tell you like if anybody know anything about them middle 90 Camrys.
Yeah, it's a few things I learned in this time that I've been an owner of a shop. One of the things that I actually learned from, a lot of people may not like it, but outside of me doing 2 years at Temple for business. I learned from the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of people may not like it, but here's the thing. Their mindset is keep their overhead low to maximize their profit. That's their motto. The reason people will talk about, the Eagles never going to win, Eagles never win. They win every year when those seats are sold out every year because of, you know, how their management runs their team. They may not be built to win a championship, but they're built to win those big bucks because they maximize that profit by minimizing their overhead. And I learned from that one. So one of the things that this barbering career has allowed me to do, and most recently, skills you didn't see a chance to find out this one, but I recently just moved back to the Philadelphia area. One of the things I just did is eliminated a mortgage.
Absolutely, and in the travel time.
And the travel time.
Because gas is
definitely. I was paying $150 a week in gas. As where I was living at. Outside of me cutting that out, you know, biggest thing I'm looking at, you know, how many people have we known that spent their whole lives just trying to pay their biggest bills, which is their mortgage. And it ended up financially strapping them down, end up damaging their relationships, their marriages, their time with their kids, all those things. But because of these clippers, because of these clippers and the opportunities that's been given to me based on what the Lord has allowed for me to experience, I had the opportunity to cut those things out.
Right.
You know, and I believe that hard work, dedication, learning from the people that's around you, learning from the experiences. Man, I got so many clients that share so many experiences with me, and I learn from those. There's always somebody you can learn from, always somebody. You know, just because somebody telling you the crazy story isn't so much as always a laughing moment. Sometimes it's a teachable moment.
Right.
You know what? What can I do not to go through what he went through?
Right.
Exactly.
And thank
right. You're right.
Hey,
that's what it is. What can I learn from this?
Right.
Man. Oh, man.
It's a beautiful thing tonight, man. I'm glad I got on. I really do. It's a beautiful thing to hear the brothers talk about their experiences and everything to come together. Whoever listens, I hope you take something home with you because this is a big thing going on for the young professionals right now that's in this game.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing, man. Hey, y'all, share this with your people in your shop and everything, man, because this is what we need, man. Get more people on here supporting the Barber Zone, man, so we can get some more of this information out, bro. Cause,
absolutely.
Yeah, we need this.
I'm glad it's going down, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say one of the reasons why we need this type of powwow, you know, more often is because, you know, one of the things we don't get a chance to do on a consistent basis is talk candidly with other individuals that know exactly what we're going through, because you can't have the same conversation with your customers.
No.
You know, you can't talk to your customers the same way you would talk to another barber, and you can't talk to another barber. If you're a shop owner, sometimes you can't talk just a regular barber about some of those things going through. You need to talk to other shop owners. So personally, one of the things that I try to do on a consistent basis is build relationships even with other shops. I don't look at the shops in my neighborhood as threats. I really don't.
Right.
This shop owner's down the street, around the corner, on my block. I don't care about those other shops existing there. I will support those other businesses there. The reason why is because I believe that what God has for me is for me, and I don't look at them as competition. All I'm going to do is offer something that they're not.
Right.
And if somebody wants what they offer, I'm going to send them there, and it's going to be reciprocated. That's
you'll
the
come
way
back.
One last thing.
I'm sorry, Kenny. Cause one last thing, Brad. I tell a lot of what I'm building off what Kenny said. Through my experiences of owning a shop, I realize, and I want to tell all of your people, just because your aunt, your grandmother, your uncle, your friend think they know about business, if they never haven't owned a business, they can't tell you how to run a business. So you got to listen to your family members saying you should do this when they've been an Indian and you trying to be a boss.
Hey, Craig.
So you need to talk to other bosses to get it correct, because even if the boss that you might not like, that man has been the boss for the last past couple of years. He has information for you. Your aunt and uncle and an Indian at the bank can't teach. They're gonna screw you up. It's not personal. It's called business.
It's called business. And y'all, this is funny. That's like y'all know Big Rob Presswood from out of Des Moines, Iowa.
Yes.
So I mess around and you know talk to Big Rob. You know, broke bread with him, everything. But until I went to Iowa and actually seen that man's shop and I didn't realize that Big Rob had owned the shop for 12 years.
Right.
12 years? Y'all, do y'all realize a lot of businesses don't last 12 years? This dude has had a business in his community for 12 years with a staff of people that he's been with for over 6 years.
Right.
Y'all, that's a success story right there.
All day.
There's a lot of businesses, like we talked about earlier. This is a recession-proof industry. When I've seen that man had, he's had his business over 12. Dude, you've been in business 12 years?
Man.
Come on, man. You can't do nothing but applaud that, because this dude has had something. He has to do something where he has a staff that's been with him for 6 years, and he has clientele and following their shop.
He has a blueprint to his system.
Man, it was crazy. I'm telling you, I went to this man's shop, and I jumped in and cut hair and made $100 right now in a place that I had never been before. That says a lot about how that man runs his business, that somebody can come in that doesn't even live there, nobody knows, and he still makes money? Mm. Oh, come on, y'all. You can't do anything but love and respect that.
Right.
And they say we just barbers. And they say we y'all just barbers. Nah, man, we are business people. And,
right.
You know, and for me to go in and to see this man's shop where he's got stuff where he's been in the paper and receiving an award from his community and this school and that and this. Like, wow, Big Rob, I got much more respect for you right now, man. You're not just a dude that's going around and winning, you know, the barber battles and things like that. Dude, you're really a successful owner. You really don't get to see that until you go and break bread in a man's place of business.
I'm glad you kept the gangster and said winning barber competition don't make you an owner or a boss.
No.
Thanks for saying that.
No, it really don't. But, man, I mean, I really had much more respect for that dude after. I'm like, man, I already respect you as a good man because we talked and we done broke bread or whatever. But, dude, after I see you run your business, you walk in, the people got mad respect for you. As you know, your barber is just coming in and everybody's friendly and kicking it back and forth together. You got a family advice. Come on, man. You can't ask for no more than that.
Mm. Hear that.
Ask for no more than that, man. So, are you really ready to be a boss? Are you really ready for the responsibility of being the head of the oldest legal profession ever?
Mm.
Are you ready to step into this arena? It's unlike any other business entity that you know. And as easy as it is to open, it's that easy for you to close. As easy as it is for you to open, it's that easy for you to close.
Yep, close. I buy barbershop equipment too.
Yeah, man.
So when you close, I'm coming to get the equipment.
You coming to get it? I'm coming to get it.
I'm coming to get it because I know it was new.
I know it was new, and I know you barely used it because you tried to put a 10-10 top, but you was only able to successfully get 3 barbers. So I know you got 7 10 that you haven't even used.
Yeah, that's why I come by.
Yeah.
Yo, man, I love this stuff, man. I enjoy this stuff.
And y'all, this is the funny thing. I was talking about the owner that you know I played golf with and everything. Y'all, and this is the funny thing. We was playing. It was like, and this is the unheard of. It was 4 barbershop owners playing golf. 4 black barbershop owners playing golf.
Huh.
Right now, we laughing and joking, you know, talking little shop stuff and this, that, and the other. And I didn't notice it until, you know, after we got done playing, and one of my barbers said, "Yo, man, my man ain't no bread to boy shop no more. And this, that, and the other. He closed it down, and da-da-da-da-da." He gave me the story, and that made me think, like, when we was on the golf course, and we was making the little comments about the barbershop this and this happened in the shop, this dude never even opened his mouth about his shop.
Wow.
And now I see why, because his shop is closed. But he didn't want to tell us that he didn't want to tell us that on the conference. I just noticed he didn't say anything about his barbershop. Because he had to say, "Man, how your shop going, man? Did you get somebody in there?" And you know, I had some mirrors. I was telling you still got them mirrors, or you know, what new products you got? I know you just came for the hair show, and what new equipment? He always had something that he was asking. But just that day, the brother wasn't talking about his shop, and the more I had to think about it,
he actually had an attitude on the golf course and kind of got into it with a brother. Over some I'm like, dude. So he really wasn't himself that day on the golf course. And after I came back and my barber told me that his dude wasn't working there no more, it hit me like, boom. This dude's barbershop is closed.
He was embarrassed.
But here's the main thing about it. Out of the four of us that was playing as shop owners, he's the only one that's not a barber. He's the only one that's not a barber. He was that one that had the money, and he knew, you know, oh, my man is a barber. He's getting out, and there's a space open over here by my house, and Pickerington, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, dude, I told him off the rip. If you go open a business in Pickerington, you need a white barber. You have to have one white barber. Because when them old white men walk in the door, even though one of your brothers might end up cutting them, if they don't see a white present, something that looks like them and make them feel comfortable, besides the Ohio State banner, they not right for you.
That's wrong.
If you don't have anything else but besides an Ohio State banner to draw the white folks into your shop, they not saying no. And believe me, I've seen it in my shop. When my white barber ain't in there, and it's all brothers in there, even though we got white, we all might have straight haired white folks in our chairs. But if you don't see a barber that look like him, they done turned around and walk. Oh, I'm cool, I'll come back. No, we not. We know you're not coming back. I seen it in your face. So, yo, to be a successful boss, man, you have to have all your bases covered. All of them. And if you don't, you better have somebody you can talk to at night. Call me. Call my man Benny. Call Chris. Jump on the Barber Society. Hit Kenny Duncan up. Hit Craig Skills. Hit somebody. Hit somebody up on Facebook and ask some questions, y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
That prideful, being the man, thinking you doing this, that, and the other. No, man. That ain't gonna do you nothing. We'll end up in court because you didn't mess around and signed a 4 or 5 year lease. You was only in the South for 6 months, but yeah, y'all know what? This business right here, you still owe them 2 years, and you still owe them your mother 30 months on that lease. So you're gonna have to pay for it. They're gonna take you to court and they're gonna get the money from that lease. So that's another thing. Are you prepared for that?
Yeah. Welcome to the game.
That's real life. Welcome to the game. It's not as simple as you think, man. Of course, running the business is, hey, like you said, you got low overhead. Only thing we need is some clippers, you know, some stretchers, a couple neck strips, you know. Our clippers are already paid for. That's low overhead. So what about everything else that comes along with it? It's more than just the client come in. How you doing, Mr. Jones? How would you like your haircut today? Cutting his hair, shaking his hand, and getting him out the door. It's a lot more than that, y'all.
Right.
It's a lot
Hold
more
up.
Than that.
I appreciate Hold it, man. I'm Greg Go. I appreciate the show, man. I peace out to all of y'all. Barbara Love.
Oh yeah, y'all. I'm looking at the clock, man. We just went like a half an hour over, man. It's like 11:30. But y'all know that's how it goes when we talk and it's good barber love, man. So we need to do more of this, y'all. Invite more barbers and invite more stylists to get in the barber zone with your man Chavez moment right here. Y'all, we've come to the end of the show. We actually in overtime. So we've come to another show. I wanna thank everybody that's come on the show and express your opinion on about being a boss. Y'all, basically what we said is everybody's not ready to be a boss. But when you're ready, when you're truly ready, you'll know it. Get all your bases covered. Get your education. If you have any questions, ask them before you sign that lease. Because after you sign that lease, it's over. That race is on. They done shot the gun. And everybody's leaving the starting gate. What are you going to do? So, y'all, until next week, it's your man Chavez Moment, man, coming right here from Barber Zone Radio, In the Zone with your man, Chavez Moment, right here from Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to hit us up on barberzone.org, Twitter, Facebook. Check out the Barbers on YouTube, man. And if you need some barber gear, I forgot to say it, man. Barbers on Clothing, we got you. Hit us up, y'all. So until next week, you know, barber love, man. As LaDon say, barber love with the trademark. And as we said, the Barbers on, man, come get your head right. So appreciation to all y'all, and I'll see y'all next week. We're going to go out with my man, Cool Ray. We getting it in at the barbershop, y'all.
Welcome to Barberzone, here to see.
Chavez.
Who?
Chop. Got a couple kids need cut. I need to tighten up myself.
Oh, we got you. Come on in and have a seat, man. Hey, Chop.
What up, fam?
Cuz out here got a few kids you need cut.
Oh, yeah? A few of them?
Yeah. Yo, Chop.
What up?
You know the motto?
Come get your hair right. First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get him faded, tapered up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
It's just another day at the barbershop. I clean my barber chair, time to get it in with Chop. Turn my clippers on, clients rush the parking lot. Just the south side, number one barbershop. On the regular, we cut them so fresh. DJ Khaled with the clippers, we the best. I'm taking walk-ins, tell me who's next. We take cash, even debit, no checks. I see your cuts grown, welcome to Barber Zone. We go hard or go home, the store is in your phone. And now we doing numbers like the pickfold. They asking where you get that cut, that is sick, bro. First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get him faded, tapered up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Early in the morning,